Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are stalking, domestic violence, murder, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and it comes from Mickey, and it says, I love this. I was listening to this while I was in class, and I couldn't contain myself smiling and giggling so much. Can't wait to see what you guys will be reading this year. Love you, hot ladies.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you. And this week, we're telling Riley all about his Sinner by Harmony West. And this is book two of the book that we covered last week.
It is.
So we pick right up where we left off when he was like, surprise, we're going on a month-long writing retreat at my secluded mansion on top of a mountain.
Yes, I do remember that.
Nicholson Manor is the spooky, ambient, gothic mansion of Briar's dreams. Saint just brought her breakfast in bed, complete with all of her favorite food items, and she feels like maybe having a stalker has its perks. It's her first real day of the writing retreat, and she slept like a baby last night, right next to Saint, per his demands. She tells herself that he's definitely hot, but she's only into him because of the orgasms. Definitely no other reasons. Like, she's like, I don't have any valid feelings for this man. I just think he's hot.
I don't think so.
He brings her down to the sunroom to show her that their laptops are already set up and there's coffee for each of them and a platter of cheese and crackers.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's her favorite writing snack. They write in companionable silence for a few hours, and Briar's thinking about how being stalked and kidnapped by Saint may be the best thing that ever happened to her. As Saint revises his manuscript, he decides to ask Briar to be his literary agent, but she tells him she isn't qualified to do that, and he's like, you could be, I'm gonna run you a bath. So he's like, think about it, let's soak.
Oh, I thought he was saying, like, the bath will make you qualified. You could be, hop in this bath, and you are.
Because if you remember from last week, his agent dropped him for being too flaky.
Yeah.
He gets the bathroom all ready for her with candles and rose petals, and when she comes into the bathroom, he tells her she'll be getting her massage afterwards, but she surprises him by saying she'd rather have her massage during her bath. She strips and then undresses Saint, and he slides into the bath behind her and starts rubbing away at her sore muscles. He starts with her back and then, of course, starts to massage her boobies. She thinks he's going to start wandering lower, but he begins to wash her hair instead.
She groans. Few things are better than a scalp massage. What things are better? I tease. A tongue massage. My cock twitches at the memory of my tongue between her legs. I'll give her that massage soon enough.
Yeah. After he rinses her hair, he starts massaging her legs and feet, and she tells him this is the best massage she's ever had, and he hasn't even touched her pussy. So he takes the hint and slides his hand between her thighs and starts to rub her clit. Then she says, never mind, this is the best massage I've ever had. She tells him she could come like this, but she'd rather come on his dick. But he asks her if she trusts him. She says she's trying to, so he instructs her to get on her hands and knees. She does. And then he tells her to come up with a safe word. So she chooses grave. Which is a terrifying safe word.
Yeah, all right.
And then he rises up behind her and starts to slide into her.
She cries out, back arching and head swinging up. Fuck, please tell me the whole thing is in. I laugh. God, she makes me laugh like no one else. Not even close, Muse. You have several more inches to take.
Okay, big boy.
Oh, you only have 10 inches in, 3 more to go.
Crazy.
He asks her to repeat the safe word, and he's like, okay, good, you're gonna need it. And then he shoves her head under the water.
Okay.
She's like blowing bubbles. She's like,
yeah, I would hate that.
I'm sorry, that's so scary.
He pulls her head in and out of the water as he bangs her and gives her a second to give him the safe word, but she doesn't, even though she's sputtering out how fucked up this is. He tells her if she trusts him, she needs to let go of the sides of the tub, and she reluctantly does. Then he shoves her back under even deeper as he bangs the heck out of her until they're both coming. Then he pulls her back up out of the water. So he just waterboarded her.
It's like, does it hurt?
Oh, the shark?
Yeah.
I'm just imagining, like, inhaling water.
You would 100% inhale water because he didn't tell her he was going to do that.
Yeah. And then that would immediately take you out of the moment because now you're like...
the brain burn.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, when you suck water in through your nose.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, how are you liking it? How are you there if you're, like, choking and, like,
some people like it.
Asphyxiation, man.
I'm down for asphyxiation, but I don't want water involved.
No. Water, I feel like, changes it completely.
It's a different level.
That stresses me out. She collapses at the edge of the tub, heaving as she comes down from her orgasm and sucks air into her oxygen-starved lungs. Next time, she pants, I'm going to drown you in my pussy. Ooh, scary threat.
She says, you're next. A little while later, she's alone in Saint's bed researching how to become a literary agent when Trevor calls her. And remember, Trevor is her bestie from the school who works security, who is trying to help her investigate her stalker. And then he was like, don't be stupid. Don't fall for your stalker. She's like, I'm not.
That's right. Yeah.
She's kind of annoyed because she let all of her friends and family know she was going off the grid for winter break to do a writing retreat. And they all agreed to leave her alone for the most part. But she feels like a dick when he says he was just calling to check in on her and make sure she's okay. She says she's fine and he lets her know that he's still looking into her stalker, but he's a really, really sneaky dude and Trevor hasn't been able to find much. But he assures Briar they'll find a way to get him locked up for a long time.
She's like, yeah.
His cum's just like dripping down her. She's like, yeah, get him.
Yeah, let's put him in jail.
Yeah, where is he?
Briar's like, actually, we don't need to do that anymore. I'm not pressing charges against him. And Trevor's like, do not tell me you're falling for this dude. And she says she's not, even though deep down she knows she's on her way there. Trevor says, good. I know you're smart enough not to fall for a master manipulator like that. And she's like, yeah, totally. And he lets her go and wishes her good luck on her writing retreat. Then Saint walks in, asking her to check out his latest chapter down in the kitchen. It's a fanfic of the two of them committing murder and fucking while they run from the crime scene. She says it's too bad she doesn't have a mask in real life because they could totally reenact this scene to make sure the angles are realistic. Saint says, well, I have my mask, as he slides it on and turns out the lights. He plops her up on the dining table and rips her shirt off, pulling her bottoms down, and says he's gonna munch on that puss, just like the character in his book. And she's like, that scene lasted an hour. And he tells her he'll eat her out until his tongue falls off if he has to.
Do it.
My pussy would literally go raw.
Yeah, I would stop having fun after a while.
20 minutes at max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He tells her he can still make her scream with just his fingers and dick. And to prove his point, he whips it out and slams it right in. He's banging her hard and slapping her titties around and she's loving it. But then she sees movement from outside the window and she tries to stop him to let him know someone's out there. But he says, I don't give a fuck if the entire country's outside the window right now. Nothing matters when they're together. And I just put stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid. That's how you die.
Yeah. They're like on a secluded mountain too. And he's like, it's fine. As long as I'm in you.
That's even more reason to freak out.
He doesn't think there's anyone there anyway, since he owns the entire mountain. And besides, if some random hiker is peeping on them, let them have a show.
I don't give a fuck. They can watch my glistening cock drive inside her tight pussy over and over. They can listen to her moans and wails as she takes every hard inch, clenching and spasming each time I hit that sweet spot deep inside her. They can jerk off to us fucking on the dining room table for all I care, as long as she remembers that nothing outside this room matters when I'm inside her. The house could be burning down around us, and I wouldn't stop fucking her until she came on my cock. Well, that's just unsafe.
It is. Also, he's a little salty because he overheard her phone conversation where she adamantly denied being in love with him. So he fucks her even harder because he feels like he has something to prove, and they both come together screaming one another's names. When they're finished, she asks again about who could be outside, but he's like, nobody's there. I don't have neighbors, and I own the entire mountain. And once you marry me, you'll own the entire mountain too.
That's kind of cool.
But she says, I'm not going to marry you. He says, there's a private cemetery nearby, so maybe it was a ghost she saw, or maybe the groundskeeper, but he's usually not here this time of year. Then he tells her that he based one of his necrophiliac characters on this man, on his groundskeeper.
Why?
It's definitely not the necrophiliac groundskeeper watching us.
She's too alive.
Yeah. And she's like, great, so your groundskeeper could be out there plotting on how to kill us and fuck our dead bodies. But he assures her he'll keep the property completely locked up when she's here. She convinces him that they at least need to go outside and scope things out. He grabs a gun and they head out. They make it to the cemetery with no signs of anyone lurking, and Briar asks why there's only 7 headstones here. He tells her the cemetery was owned by the last family who owned the manor, but when the grandfather died, he didn't have any other children, so their bloodline was ended, and nobody comes here to visit. When they get back inside, she asks if it might be a PI watching them because she swears some blonde in a BMW was following her back home, and now he's pissed that she didn't say something sooner. They head to bed and she tells him no funny business because she's still sore, but he's like, well, my tongue won't make you any more sore.
Ugh.
The next day, Briar's all alone while Saint is out getting more food for them, and she's trying not to freak out about it. She calls her mom to take the edge off, but her mom just starts gushing about Saint and all of the gifts he's been sending her, like chocolates and a lovely scarf. Her mom asks if her and Saint have made things official yet, and Briar says no, but it could be a possibility someday, and her mom is simply thrilled. Her mom is, like, obsessed with Saint.
She says, yes, a man with money.
Yeah. She asks her mom about the wedding that her dad RSVP'd to, and she's like, it's fine, I can avoid him in a crowd of 200 people, no biggie. So remember, both of her parents are divorced, and they both RSVP'd to the same wedding, and she was like, fuck you, dad, I hate you. You cheated on my mom.
I was gonna say, didn't he cheat on her mom?
Mm-hmm. Then her mom says, speaking of Briar's father, she has something to ask, but then Briar's phone dies.
What? What are you gonna ask?
She puts it on the charger, but nothing happens. The power's out.
Dun, dun, dun.
She goes to the bathroom to light a candle and she hears a thud from downstairs. She yells Saint's name, but there's no response. She runs to grab the gun Saint had the other night, but it's gone. And she's convinced she's about to be murdered.
I would be too.
Yeah, after you just saw somebody outside and Saint was like, I'll keep you safe. I'm gonna go grocery shopping now. Bye.
Yeah.
She can hear footsteps coming upstairs, so she ducks into Saint's office to hide behind the door. She waits until she can hear them in the bedroom and books it down the stairs. But she can hear them following her, and she eats shit on the ground. She gets back up and runs out the front door and tries to get into the garage, but it's locked up, and now she's stuck outside.
Oh my god, no.
Her only options are freezing to death or going inside to get murdered. Saint pulls up and his headlights shine on Briar crouched beside the garage and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she tells him there's someone in the house. He sees red and tells her she's about to see someone die.
I'd say, yeah, please kill the intruder.
Yeah, why didn't you do that last night?
Do it.
They go inside together and Saint sweeps the house, but he doesn't find anyone. He flips the breaker back on and the power returns. She swears to him that she isn't crazy, but he assures her that he believes her. He apologizes for not keeping their home more secure, and he, like, emphasizes there.
As they're, like, not even dating.
Yeah, cute and cool, but I'd be like, stop.
But also, cool house.
Yeah, this is mine.
Also, no prenup.
He would never make her sign a prenup.
No, never.
And he promises he'll never leave her side again. She tells him he can't possibly be with her 24/7, but he just says, bet. And she's like, what about when I have to take a shit? And he says he'll turn around and put headphones in.
Or be a man and listen to her shit.
I don't want an audience. I like to poop in private.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess everyone's different. It's not that I want an audience, but like, I could shit in front of Andrew. No prob.
I don't think I could. I don't even fart in front of Zach.
Really?
Oh, I'm just ripping it. Everyone shits and farts. I'm not going to hide it in my own home or around my life partner.
Then she just sighs and asks him to teach her how to kill someone. He brings her to his private shooting range for some lessons. He's standing behind her, teaching her how to hold the gun, but it quickly turns very sensual as their bodies rub against each other.
My cock grows hard against her ass, and she glances over her shoulder, a smirk pulling at her lips. Are you going to come in your pants when I finally shoot this thing? My hot breath caresses her ear and she shivers. If I'm going to come in anything, it's going to be your cunt. She chokes on air. I will never tire of the effect my words have on her.
He guides her through some target practice, and by the end of their lesson, she's so giddy, she jumps up and kisses him and tells him next time someone breaks into a house she's inside of, they won't be leaving alive. So she's like, I am gonna fucking kill someone and I'm excited.
Scary.
They eat some dinner, but the next thing she knows, Briar wakes up naked, blindfolded, and tied to a chair in Saint's library.
What the fuck?
Before she can scream for Saint, she feels a blade at her collarbone. But she hears Saint's familiar voice say, shh, this is a library. He tells her this is another lesson. She's gonna learn how to manage her fear in stressful situations. He tells her he slipped a little sedative into her food earlier.
Okay. I would be so pissed.
Yeah, I would freak out.
She was oddly fine with it.
That's crazy.
Then she feels the barrel of his gun rub against her pussy, and he's smug as hell when it comes away soaking wet. He starts running the knife against her boobs and commands her to suck on his gun. She's being stubborn and demanding he take the blindfold off, but he just shoves it in and starts thrusting it in and out of her mouth, making her gag. He bends down and starts to lick her clit and then uses the handle of his knife to rub her, which is like very haunting Adeline.
Yeah.
Always with the fucking of the guns and the knives. Oh, lights out with the knife.
And everyone's like, this is so hot. Yeah, is it hot? You want your man to put a gun in your coochie? Do it then.
Well, Jenna says maybe.
Jenna's like, I already did that. Wait, Jenna, did you?
I do got a Glock right next to where Greg sleeps. You know I keep that thing strapped on my dog.
And in you.
Jenna's holster is actually her pussy, so. Yeah.
Jenna says, hold on. I've got a gun. Don't mind why it's wet. You like my knife on your swollen, throbbing clit, don't you, Muse? His voice is distorted by the mask, slipped back into place. Yes, I breathe. There is no point in me denying it when he can clearly see and feel the evidence right in front of him. Do you think you'll love my gun in your pussy just as much? I stiffen. Wait. But the tip of the barrel nudges at my entrance again, still slick with my saliva. You said you know how to handle a gun. Let's find out how true that is. Don't put your fucking gun inside me, I snap. Or what, he purrs. You'll come all over it. No, what if you shoot me?
Yeah. Oh my god, that'd be so painful, right through the puss.
I think you'd die.
You think instantly, though?
No.
It'd like come out your throat. When he was teaching her how to shoot, he gave her like a whole ass lesson on gun safety. He was like, never point the gun at someone else if you're not gonna shoot it at them.
And he's like, in your mouth, in your pussy, in your mouth, in your pussy.
Yeah, like 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's like, don't do as I do, do as I say.
Yeah.
Then he thrusts it in and starts rubbing her clit some more with his knife handle. She tries not to like it, but it's impossible, and he tells her she's his little sinner as he continues to fuck her with the barrel. She tells him this is amazing, and he's gonna make her come like this. Then she comes all over his gun and knife. He finally removes her blindfold and tells her this lesson was to teach her how to control her fear and how to relinquish her control when she's with him.
Okay, but like, how did that help her conquer her fear?
Because she was afraid, and then she came.
Right.
The dots are connecting. Thank
you. So if she ever gets kidnapped, she can just come instead.
She's gonna say, put the gun in my pussy.
My boyfriend taught me this.
I don't feel fear when it's in my pussy.
Next thing we know, Saint has snatched up the terrified groundskeeper and is interrogating him inside of the man's little cottage. The man has no idea what they're accusing him of and apologizes for not being on the mountain tending to the cemetery. And now Briar's like, so you didn't try and kill me? Saint believes him and is just like, my bad, see ya. So they just terrorize this little old man.
Leave him alone.
They head back to the manor and go straight to the sunroom to get some more writing in. Briar even shows him a list of potential agents that just may be worthy of his books. She says it's the least she can do after he killed her pervy boss, and now he's touched. He offers to move her mom, Mac, and the cat to the manor, and he'll support them all financially so she can write full-time, but she refuses because she's an independent woman. Which, like, why would you refuse that? You get your mom, your best friend, and your cat for free?
You can still be an independent woman.
Yeah. To counter that, then she's like trapped, you know?
Yeah, that's like her fear. But she knows how to conquer her fear now.
I was gonna say she should have faced that when the gun was in her. Yeah.
She tells him maybe after next semester she'll think about it, because at this point no man has ever done for her what he has, and at the end of the day she does want to be here with him. Finally, their month-long writing retreat is coming to an end. No more attempted murders, and they spend all of their time writing and fucking. Briar's feeling refreshed and rejuvenated.
Slay.
Saint thanks Briar for being his muse, and he just got Zayden's review of his latest story and was told it's his best work yet, and he owes it all to Briar. He asks how she wants to spend their final day up on the mountain, and she tells him that she wants them to write for one another and then read it aloud. So they spend the next hour writing the nastiest smut they can come up with. As they read their stories to each other, Briar is completely soaked and Saint is ready to get frisky. He kneels down and pulls her panties aside to go down on her and says she'll be coming in his mouth first and then on his dick. He places her on the railing of the second floor to his library and tells her to trust him not to drop her.
Oh, okay.
It's like that kid at the mall.
Oh, no.
I just did a deep dive on that on TikTok. Some man just walked over to him and yeeted him.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom had to see it. That's crazy.
Ugh, that's horrible.
That's awful.
So he has her on the railing and he starts chowing down on her some more. She comes despite the terror because he like conditioned her.
Right.
Yeah, because she doesn't get afraid anymore. She just gets horny.
Pavlov.
Yeah, you Pavlov the shit out of her. Then he spins her around, bends her over the railing and tells her to grab the chandelier because they're going to Pound Town. So she's bent over forward on the railing, grabbing onto the chandelier on the ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah.
His cock fills every inch of me, making my pussy throb and weep for him. Both of his hands are clamped around my hips now, keeping my ass against him as it bounces back against his torso with every hard thrust. Above our heads, the chandelier rattles violently, and I brace myself for the second the chains holding it up will give out. My pussy is already aching, sore after fucking Saint multiple times a day. With the tension in every muscle, my walls are clenched around his cock tighter than usual. I'm sore. I can't go much longer. You're going to have to waddle then, Muse. I'm not even close. Ugh, I'd be like, damn it.
Dang it, shoot.
I would reach around and punch him. I'd be like, fucking come right now, or you're not coming at all.
He tells her he can come faster if she comes, because that really gets him going, and he leans forward, and now she's struggling to hang on.
Show me how much you love getting fucked by me. Squeeze that pussy on my cock. I cry out, doing as I'm told, clenching on his cock as hard as I can, hoping that's enough to make him finish sooner. I want you to come inside me. I can't give it to you until you come on my cock, Muse.
The pressure.
Yeah.
As she comes, she starts to fall forward, but Saint snatches her up by the hair and just keeps banging her. Then he comes hard inside of her. The next day, it's all over and Saint is dropping Briar back off at home, but there's a strange man sitting on her doorstep. Saint recognizes him immediately as Warren Marshall, who is the nasty man who killed his mother, the brother of the man who attempted to molest a young saint.
What are you doing here?
But Briar gets out of the car and she's like, Dad?
What the fuck?
Because remember, he was like, yeah, I was going to kill him, but I just cut his ear off instead. And she was like, oh, you can give it to my dad because he got his ear bit off by a dog.
That's right.
Briar's pissed, demanding to know how he got her address, but he looks Saint up and down and tells her to get inside. This man is dangerous. And she's like, no, this is my house. And when her dad takes her arm, trying to guide her inside, Saint loses it. But he just tells them both to get inside, and Saint is like, great, I'm about to murder my future father-in-law. They all go into her living room, and Briar wants to know how they know each other. Saint is like, I chopped his ear off. And she's like, Dad, I thought it got bit off by a dog.
He's like, no, stupid. Do you think a dog would make this clean line?
Then Warren is like, this man's mother killed my brother. And Saint is like, your brother tried to molest me. And also, she didn't kill him. I did. Then Warren tells him to stay away from his daughter and turns to Briar and is like, don't you see? This is some master plan. He's using you to get to me and he's gonna kill you.
No.
Saint turns to Briar and is like, you know I'd never hurt you. She's crying now and Warren tells Saint to get out. He leaves them to figure this mess out and tells himself he won't kill Warren because Briar is the one who deserves to take his life.
Briar is telling Mac all the dirty details about her 1 month riding retreat with Saint. The amazing sex, how her dad killed his mom, how she loves him. And Max like, hold up, your dad killed his mom.
Yeah.
She says, yeah, and he probably won't love me anymore, even after all of this. But Max says that's not true because he's clearly obsessed with her, which listen to your bestie.
Yeah.
Mac asks if her dad will try to do something to Saint, but Briar doesn't think so. Just then, her phone rings. Mac urges her to answer it, and when she does, the other end is complete silence. She hangs up, but they call again. It's silence again, and she ends the call blocking the number, then calls Trevor to trace the number. He tells her that he will run it by his buddy at the station and get back to her on it. He warns her to be careful of her stalker, and then he hangs up. Saint is waiting in Warren's hotel lobby. When Warren finally walks in, Saint ushers him over. He explains to Warren that he would never hurt Briar and plans on marrying her. To him, their history is completely buried. Warren takes a moment and says that he agrees. They both want Briar safe and happy. Later on, Briar is cleaning out Dr. Barrett's office when she gets unknown texts about what she's wearing. This sets her on edge because of the weird number from earlier, but then Saint walks in.
She tells him that she's sorry for what her family has done to him and his family, and she understands if he can't be with her. He tells her nothing could come between them, and she relaxes and then shows him the text that she just got. She's wondering if they're from the same person at his manor and if there's a connection between the two. He tells her that no one will hurt her with him around, and now it's time for some fun and to break in her new office. He takes his tie off, stuffing it into her mouth, and then he slips her dress off and runs a finger up her panties.
I'd be like, no, let's get back to these text messages. He tisks, we don't want anyone hearing you, do we, professor? No one can know how hard your student makes you come behind closed doors.
They're doing a little role play.
My student.
Then he kisses down her body and starts munching away. He starts fingering her until she comes, and then he pulls his tie out of her mouth and tells her to bend over her own desk.
I need to get to class. Saint spins me, pushing my back down so my bare breasts are pressed against the desk. You should have thought about that before you spread your legs for me. I'm not leaving until I come inside this sweet pussy.
Then he's inside her and fucks her until she comes. Once she's finished, he pulls out and forces her to her knees. He has her open her mouth and shoves his dick inside, coming down her throat. They promise to see each other later, and when she leaves, she gets a text from the same number. They're in her house, letting her know that she needs more milk. She's almost out.
What the fuck?
When she asks who is this, they say she already knows. She screenshots the text messages to Mac, who immediately calls Briar, telling her not to engage with whoever this is. Briar tells Mac her theory on how it has to be connected between Austin, Dr. Barrett, and Saint's Manor. Mac tells Briar that she will track this stalker down to help. Mac, Briar, and Saint later on go to the school's candlelight vigil for Dr. Barrett. They keep their eyes out for anyone who seems suspicious enough to be Briar's new stalker. Briar speaks to Nancy, Dr. Barrett's wife, to rule her out. She's playing the grieving widow, but apparently knows her husband was a scumbag. She's happy he's gone, but mad that her alimony is too because he's missing, so she doesn't get it.
Damn it.
Before the three of them decide to leave, Mac is sure she saw someone that she recognizes from her past. Briar and Mac have a movie night when Briar's dad interrupts, asking to catch up with her. She says no thanks, and then he asks if he's even going to be invited to her wedding. She says, not getting married, and if I did invite you, would you even show up? And he's silent, which tells her the answer she needs, so she closes the door on his face. The next day, when Briar's class ends, Saint walks her to her car when they discover her driver's side window is completely bashed in with glass everywhere. Briar's pissed, which I would cry.
Yeah, I would be so upset.
Saint says that he'll start cleaning it up, but she says, no, no, I'm tired of this shit. We're breaking into campus security. We're going to go check the security cameras. Saint picks the lock, and just as they head to the monitor, Trevor comes in. He tells Briar that she cannot be in here. She explains the situation with her car, and he says that he will check the footage and he will let her know. And then she says okay, and her and Saint leave.
He's freaking me out now.
Your side eye was so major, you were like...
He did something earlier too. I can't remember what it is now, but I was like, nah, suspicious. I'm gonna be pissed if this is unfounded.
Briar continues walking down the hall, but Saint has a little chat with Trevor before he follows. He threatens to hunt Trevor down if anything happens to Briar because Trevor just interfered. When Briar calls for Saint, he joins her, leaving the building, but wants to know what the fuck is up with her and Trevor. She tells him they're barely even friends, and when Saint first started stalking her, she asked Trevor to help with it since he's an ex-cop. He agrees to not go after Trevor when she begs him not to. Saint and Briar go to dinner with her mom, except she's not paying attention to anything happening at the restaurant because she's been texting her stalker back and forth. When Briar excuses herself from the table, Saint asks her mother to order dessert while he checks on Briar. When he checks on her, she tells him that she needs a distraction from this terrible night and tries to take his belt off. He's hurt thinking that's all he is to her, and she says, he's not just a distraction, but she needs one. He puts his hand up her dress and she says that she needs him hard and fast in the bathroom.
No preamble then, just railing her in a public restroom stall, fucking away the stress. I shove her panties to the side and sheath my cock inside her. She hisses through her teeth, but manages to swallow down her cries. Her tight walls around my shaft feel fucking euphoric. You're my bad fucking girl. She beams at me over her shoulder, so punish me for how bad I've been.
She was like, I was really scared, so now I'm really horny.
Yeah.
We have to fuck in the bathroom.
There's my fear.
It's how it presents itself now.
He fucks her hard and fast, and just when they're both about to come, an unfamiliar voice asks, what's going on in here? Briar tells the woman, get the fuck out! And then they come. Briar is at home alone when someone knocks on her door. It's the blonde that's been following her in the black BMW. The woman asks why Briar isn't talking to the cops about her brother's death. So it's April who's been following her.
April's who again?
Austin's sister.
That's right. That's right.
So Austin's sister is the blonde in the BMW.
That's crazy. Just show yourself.
Homegirl's got so many stalkers.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Briar says that she did talk to the cops and she told them every single thing that happened that night. And she didn't know that Austin even did drugs because she barely knew him. April tells her that he was clean for months, hung out with her once, and then OD'd. It can't be a coincidence. Briar says, all right, time for you to go. I'm going to call the fucking cops. When April leaves, Briar calls Saint and tells him it's April, Austin's sister. That's her stalker. Before Briar's first class, Trevor arrives with an officer. He begs Briar to talk to the cop about her stalker. She says, no need. I already know who it is. It's April, Austin's sister. Trevor doesn't seem convinced, but lets her get to class as him and the officer leave. Saint is talking to Zayden when he gets eyes on April. He hangs up and approaches her, saying that he's a private investigator here to help. He says Dr. Barrett's family hired him to look into his colleague, who also might be connected to Austin. She spills, giving Briar's name, and he says, is it legal for a law student to get information like she has? And who did she get it from? She says, I got it from a man named Trevor.
I knew it! That little slimy, sleazy scumbag.
When Saint arrives at Briar's, she's all sexy waiting for him. He wants to discuss April, but she says, later. Now I need you.
No, discuss. I want to do every position you've ever fantasized about having me in. My hand travels down to her ass to cup a cheek. Every position? My God, everyone.
She's very blasé about having multiple stalkers.
Yeah.
I fear it would go to my head. I would be like, me?
Everyone wants me?
He was like, I've cracked the case. And she was like, not now. Give me your dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pisses me off. They do this like a lot where one of them needs to say something and then they're like, no, later. No.
Now.
She undresses Saint, and once he's undressed, she asks why he picked her. He tells her it's always been her. In some way, he knew they were meant to be together from her first review of his book and all the other ones since. So, without knowing who she was or anything like that, he loved all of her reviews on his books. And then when he met her in person, she started rambling about how much she loves S.T. Nicholson. He's like, two and two together. It's my baby right there.
That's my baby.
They kiss and he removes her bra to take a nipple into his mouth.
Her nipple pops out of my mouth, her tit wobbling as I move to the other. Okay. She cries out as I suck her peak nipple hard enough to bruise. I want you covered in bruises and come when I'm finished with you. Reminders of everything I'm going to do to you tonight. Of everything I can make you feel. Of the ecstasy only I can give you. He's like, I want to bruise you.
He yanks her panties off and lays her on the bed as he rubs her clit. Then he kisses down her body to eat her out. He edges her over and over, and when she goes to threaten him, he gives her exactly what she wants. Once she's finished, it's her turn to kiss and tease him, and he's begging before she even puts his dick in her mouth. She finally gives in and gives him the Gluck Gluck 3000 until he's coming down her throat. Once that's done, he lays her down again and moves up her body.
I move up her body, shoving her tits together. She groans. You said any position I desire, I remind her. Yeah, but a titty fuck? With tits this extraordinary, how can I possibly resist? Yeah, good old-fashioned titty fuck.
He titty fucks her and then drops her breast and then starts shoving into her pussy. They fuck until she comes again and he says he will be taking her ass now. He finger pops her booty to get her ready.
I spit on my cock to add to the lubrication from her pussy. We both need to be lubricated enough to make this pleasant for her. Because I'm going to want to take her ass as often as I can after this. I pull my finger out, playing with her clit to keep her relaxed and wet for me as I nudge my tip at her virgin hole. I fully disagree that only spit and pussy lubrication is enough. Because that shit dries up when you're fucking. Even lube dries up. You need lube.
You're going to get an anal fissure.
Are you talking about a butt cut?
Yeah.
A butt cut. Thank you. Yeah.
Or like you're going to get your whole like butt sack pulled out.
Oh, pink sock?
Yeah.
Ah.
Do you want a pink sock?
No.
No.
He goes slow until he gets the okay to continue. Then he savagely is fucking her ass until they both come. The next morning, Briar wakes up to a note from Saint. He's doing research and will return soon. Then Trevor calls. He saw the video footage of her car being vandalized. He says it wasn't April. It was Saint.
Bullshit.
She says, no, it wasn't. There's no way. She asks to see it herself and he promises to send it. Just as her stalker sends her a video, she tells Trevor about it and he begs her not to watch. She mutes the call and clicks play. It's a dark room with a couple fucking. The man is filming as April bounces on his dick, and then the camera points to a mirror above them. He's wearing Saint's mask in Saint's office.
What the fuck?
She is now completely heartbroken and knows that they must have been working together to torment her. Trevor's been right all along.
No, I think that was Trevor fucking her.
Saint is getting to the bottom of who this Trevor guy is, and his real name is Trevor James Hobart. Zayden, his bestie author, helps get the dirt, and the results aren't surprising. He was fired from his position as a police officer for abusing his power and harassing women. Saint breaks into Trevor's apartment, and on his computer, he finds a whole folder labeled Her. It's pictures upon pictures of a woman with the same color hair as Briar, and the last picture of the woman was taken 2 years ago. And it's clear that Trevor is attempting to replace this woman with Briar because they look so similar.
What happened to the other woman? Is she dead?
It's assumed. When he gets back to Briar's house, he has to pound on her door for her to let him in. And once inside, she literally starts swinging and going apeshit on him.
Yeah.
She goes off and she shows him the video of him cheating on her. And he's like, Pookie, that isn't me. She thinks he's playing her like a fool. And she's like, Trevor was right. You're brainwashing me. He tries telling her that's not him in those videos and goes on to tell her everything he just learned, how Trevor was fired from the police department and how he's not who she thinks he is. He begs her to just please understand that he would never hurt her and he would never betray her like this. Because again, she is like so anti-cheating because her dad cheated on her mom. So this is like the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were her, I wouldn't even think that that video was Saint. This man has conditioned me to believe that he loves me so much he's gonna stalk me. You think he's gonna cheat on me? There's no way.
Yeah, but he's wearing Saint's mask in Saint's house.
When is Saint not with this bitch?
Well, he went grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was like, oh, I have to go get groceries.
I'm delusional enough to be like, that's not him.
Part of me would be like, oh my God, that's him. But I think I would like listen to him first. I would be like, hey, I got this video. Please tell me it's not you and somehow explain it to me.
I would zoom in on it and be like, does that look like my man's abs? No, not a 12 pack. Okay.
Yeah.
He asks what he has to do to fix this. And she says, easy. Let me kill you.
All right.
He gets up and heads to the kitchen and hands her a knife.
What the fuck are you doing? Her voice shakes. When I reach her, I stop and hold out the handle. I told you if you wanted to kill me, I'd hand you the knife.
So much drama.
See? He's not cheating on her.
No. No. He's like, stab me, bitch.
Yeah.
He professes his undying love for her and tells her she is his everything. And if he doesn't have her, he has nothing. So if she wants to kill him, she can. She drops the knife and tells him to get out of her house. Mac is helping keep Briar together during this little breakup, but she won't let her broken heart keep her from the writing retreat. So remember how like their school had a writing retreat that was supposed to be held at the Nicholson Manor?
Oh, yeah.
So that's happening now.
So they're like going back to his house?
Yeah.
But like the whole classes for the end of the semester.
Okay.
And Mac is being the logical bestie right now because Briar is so hurt and she's thinking with her broken heart. But Mac is like, girl, this is Saint. He loves you. This doesn't sound like him. Like, do you really honestly think that he would do something like this to you? But she doesn't know which way is up or down right now. And the poor girl's just hella confused.
Okay, but like, there's video proof. And Mac is like, don't believe this video evidence.
Yeah, but it's not him.
In his house wearing his mask?
I know it's not him.
If I was the friend, I would say, let's go kill him. Guilty.
Well, yeah, if it was any of you guys, I'd be like, yeah, no, we gotta kill him.
I know, I like to sit here and be like, I would hear him out. No, I wouldn't.
No.
I'm very quick to spiral. I'll spiral.
Saint is in agony without Briar, and Datum told him to just give her some time, but he can't deal with time. He needs his Pookie now. As he goes to the faculty building, he sees Trevor and sees Red. He's trying to keep his composure, so he joins him on the bench, and he's sitting with him. Saint basically threatens him because he fucked with his future wife, but Trevor's like, I know what you've done to Austin and Dr. Barrett, so you should be the one to watch yourself.
Stalker versus stalker.
Who will win?
Once Mac leaves Briar's house, she gets an unexpected visitor, Trevor.
Fuck you.
He comes right out and says it. He wants to take her out on a date. Saint's words come rushing back to her when he warned her that Trevor isn't who she thinks he is and is just biding his time to use her. She turns him down and is like, dude, I've literally been through so much shit recently. Like, I'm not interested in dating anyone at all. Trevor starts to show her his real colors and starts turning kind of like an incel. He's like, no one ever goes for the nice guy like me. It's always the dicks, always the stalkers.
Ew.
I've been so nice to you and you're not even going to put out.
Yeah.
Fucking yuck.
He tells her maybe he should be more like them and start stalking her instead.
Well, you already are.
The way he's acting now, Briar's like, whoa. The Trevor I knew definitely was a front. So she asked him point blank if he was the one in the video. He manipulates the conversation, making her think she's crazy for even asking that. So then she doubled down, asking where the video was of Saint breaking into her car. If he apparently had it, how come he never showed it to her or sent it to her? He flips the conversation back on her rather than answering the question again, and that pisses her off because she knows once again he's trying to manipulate her. So she lays on him and basically tells him he's a fake-ass bitch and to get the hell out of her house.
Yeah.
They're at the retreat a day early to get ready, and Mac is helping Briar unpack when April, Austin's sister, comes up. And Briar's like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, why is everyone still stalking me?
Yeah.
April tells her that Saint wasn't the one in the video of the masked man, and she has proof. She will show her if she gives her the honest truth of what happened that night and whether or not she gave Austin those drugs. Briar can tell she's searching desperately for answers, so she grabs April's hand, looks her dead in the eyes, and tells her she did not give Austin those drugs. And it finally gets through April's thick skull that she's telling the truth.
Yeah, but she, like, fully knows who did it.
Yeah, she's like, I can't out my Pookie, but, like, I didn't give it to him.
Is omitting the truth lying?
Yes. If someone's asking what happened to their dead brother.
Yeah. I agree.
But she specifically asked if she gave him the drugs. So, like,
ask better questions, April.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a fucking lawyer.
Yeah.
For real. Just say, do you know what happened to my brother?
Yeah, she'd say, I don't not know.
After a moment, Mac is like, sorry to disrupt this moment, but you said you had a video? April shows her the part of the video that was trimmed, and there's a voice that says, keep your mouth shut if you don't want everyone to see this video. And the voice very clearly wasn't Saint's. Then he lifts the mask, and boom, it's Trevor.
Knew it. Sleazeball.
Briar feels like she's gonna vomit. Mac is pale and whispers, oh my god. Briar is confused on how April knew she thought it was Saint in the video, and April tells her after Briar rejected him yesterday, he went straight to April's house and threatened her with blackmail, and then said he was gonna go take care of Saint. Mac is literally on the verge of fainting, and Briar tells her bestie that everything will be fine. She just needs to go warn Saint that he's not safe. But Mac stops Briar dead in her tracks when she says, how do you know James?
Remember her cop ex that she was running from?
How has Mac not seen Trevor at all this whole time?
She doesn't go to school. They're just friends.
Oh, shit.
But Briar's confused. She's like, no, his name's not James. That's Trevor, my friend, security guard on campus. And Mac tells her when she knew him, he went by James. Trevor James Hobart. He stalked her and almost killed her.
Oh, my God.
The plot thickens.
The plot keeps thickening.
Saint is at Nicholson Manor a day earlier than the retreat to try to get there when Briar does so he can woo her into loving him again. He has a whole romantic date planned out and is happy when he pulls up to the manor before her so he can start setting up. When he gets inside the manor, Trevor James is waiting for him at the dining room table with two glasses of scotch already poured up. As they're talking, Saint goes to drink some scotch and Trevor James says a keyword about his books, a very specific keyword that was used in the one comment that caused his whole writer's block in the very beginning of the first book.
Trevor was the internet troll.
Wow, he really concocted a whole plan.
He did.
It's kind of like the butterfly effect because he didn't know that Saint was obsessed with Briar at this point, but Briar was so obsessed with St. Nicholson, and he was obsessed with Briar. So he was like, ugh, what does she see in this stupid guy? which caused him to go to school, and he ended up in Briar's class.
Crazy.
He basically set them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Me cute.
That is such a me cute.
When he came to terms that Trevor was the one that did all this, he spit out his scotch and was just like, I tripped out over you.
See? Can't read too much into the reviews.
Saint asked him why he's here in his house, and Trevor said that Briar rejected him, and he's here to make sure that he stays away from Briar. Saint's like, oh, really? And how are you going to do that? Trevor just smiles at his glass and refers to one of Saint's book called This Book Will Haunt You, where the main character is poisoned by his biggest critic before being buried alive.
Damn it.
Trevor lifts his shirt and reveals a gun tucked in on his hip and tells him if the poison doesn't work, the gun will do the job. Stalling for time, Saint asks who the girl was who he followed around California, and Trevor says, my soulmate, Mac. Realization hits Saint like a brick, but so does the drugs he just consumed, and he starts to go limp.
So is he after Briar or is he after Mac?
Yes.
He says, ¿por qué no los dos?
Well, at the beginning of the first book, it was mentioned how Briar and Mac look like they could be sisters.
Yeah, I remember that.
Briar knows if Saint could, he would answer her calls, so she knows he needs her. As terrified as Mac is, she tells Briar whether it's prison or a grave, she needs this to be over between Trevor James, and she's done hiding from him. They're in this together. Plus, Mac pulls out a gun, which is hella helpful. Then they hop in the car, and they go find Trevor and Saint. Saint is awake as Trevor is hauling his body outside, preparing to bury him alive in the cemetery. Not only did Trevor dig a grave, but he also bought a coffin to place him in.
Oh my god, those are expensive.
Yeah. Saint has to be really smart about this, because if Trevor knows that when he spit out his scotch and didn't swallow any of the poison, so like he's not poisoned at all.
Oh.
Because trickster. Immediately when he came in the house and saw that there was two glasses already poured out, he had a feeling that they were tampered. But if he plays his cards too soon, he's going to get shot.
Yeah.
So he's be smart about it. Not playing his hand off the bat, he allows Trevor to kick him in the coffin, shut the lid, and bury him alive.
Okay. He's like, I'll figure it out.
The girls get to the house frantically looking for Saint, but find it empty. Sticking together, they search upstairs, and they suddenly halt when they start smelling smoke. They go down the stairs and run into the foyer to see the front doors on fire, and Trevor behind them looking right at Mac, saying he's been looking for her for a very long time. Everything gets aired out about how wildly obsessed he is with Mac, and how he's obsessed with Briar because she looks like Mac, and now that he has Mac back, he's never leaving her again. Mac's like, you're literally psycho. You tried killing me. I'm not going anywhere with you. He says, no, you don't get it. You choose to go with me or I take you. Those are your options. But Mac stands up for herself and says, no, you can be in prison or dead. Those are your options.
Yeah.
As Mac goes to grab the gun on her hip, Trevor James lunges for her. Briar tries to pry Mac out of his grip and he punches her so hard she's instantly concussed. She's seeing stars and doing not good, very bad. She tries with all of her might to fight for her best friend, but as she's losing consciousness, she sees Trevor drag Mac out of the house.
No!
Have no fear about Saint, because in order to make his book so successful, he did some method acting and intense research about how to get out of being buried alive.
Okay. Oh my god.
He's gotta make sure it's accurate for the book.
Yes. Right. Because most people know what it's like being buried alive. So most people would be like, that's not true.
He's like, finally, it's come to, I can do it.
My months of research are paying off.
He's able to kick through the coffin and is trying to fight his way through the compacted dirt. It's using a lot of oxygen that he doesn't have. And through the dirt, he can hear piercing screams. This is enough motivation that locks him in that he has to get out of this damn dirt to get his poogie. It's also now downpouring, which is making his escape that much harder. He hears the loudest high-pitched scream coming from Briar, which turns his escape frantic. After what feels like forever and almost impossible, finally, he breaches the surface from his grave and crawls to his muse.
Riley's face. She's just so like, are you fucking kidding me?
Briar's brought back to consciousness by Saint shaking her awake, sobbing her name. The house is still in flames around them, and she tells him she loves him so much, and she swears it's not just because they both almost just died. She's been in love with him, and he tells her that he loves her too. Now is not the time, guys.
No.
And then they fuck.
Yeah, as they do.
They quickly catch up on what happened to each other and how serious the situation is now that he has taken Mac. They both hear another scream and then see from the woods Trevor hobble to his car with an unconscious Mac in his arms. Trevor gets in the car to drive off, but Saint must do everything in his power to save Mac, so he steps right in front of the moving car, hoping at least it'll help slow down the car with his body.
Yeah.
Before it makes impacts, Briar lineman tackles him out of the way. They get to their car to chase after him, but they hear a deafening pop, and then the truck swerves, and Mac comes out of the passenger seat with a gun still in her hand.
Oh, nice girl.
It's too good to be true, though, because suddenly Trevor stumbles out too, bleeding from his head.
Okay, what the fuck?
He survived a headshot.
Yeah. Of course. He's like one of the weird cases where it like goes around the skull and then comes back out.
Yeah.
Of course.
There's an obvious graze wound on Trevor's head, but nothing that causes serious damage, and he's appalled that Mac shot him.
She's like, damn it, I accidentally brought my BB gun, not my real gun. Shoot.
She's still pointing the gun right at him, not backing down. Briar gets Trevor's phone during this whole ordeal and keeps her promise to April that she would wipe the blackmail tape from Trevor's phone. Briar looks at her bestie in the eyes and tells her to kill the motherfucker.
Yeah, she was like, hey, Trevor, by the way, do you think I could call an ambulance for you? And yeah. He's like, yeah, sure, here's my phone.
That would never happen.
Briar tells Mac to kill him, only bestie Mac doesn't. Stupid ass Trevor James is manipulating her.
How?
He's just like twisting it and she's like kind of falling for it. It's a whole thing. He's just manipulating her into like thinking like,
she's better than this. She's not a murderer.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
Yeah, I am.
Pop, pop, pop.
He was almost within reaching distance of her gun when he calls her baby. That magic word snapped her back to reality and she said, I am not your baby. She shoots him in the side and said, that's for the first time you slap me. Pop. For the first time you punch me. Pop. For the first time you threw me into the wall. Pop.
Oh my God.
And then she shot him three more times and said, that's for the last time. And he lays there dead.
Hell yeah.
Finally.
Do you think the cops are going to be like, why'd you shoot him so many times? Like, is there a point where it's not self-defense anymore?
Yeah.
In the real world, yes.
In book world, no.
Well, yeah.
With all the witness reports, the reports of Trevor's past, and the incriminating evidence on his computer, it was clear that it was all self-defense.
Seven times. He didn't go down with a headshot, though, so you got to make sure.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
With the Nicholson Manor burnt, the retreat was canceled, and when official interviews were held for Dr. Barrett's position, instead of applying, Briar put in her resignation. She's going to take her passion for books and become the best literary agent S.C. Nicholson ever had. Saint decided to plant some convincing DNA evidence in Trevor's truck to link Dr. Barrett's case and Austin's case to Trevor, thus officially pinning him for both of those. Briar officially declares that she wants to move in with Saint once his manor is repaired. They're at Briar's house packing her belongings when a black BMW pulls up and it's April. She apologizes for the whole ordeal and for her stalking and accusing her of Austin's death, and she's glad that she's okay after hearing about Trevor. They plan future coffee dates to talk about the nitty-gritty specifics of just how fucked up that day really was.
And you'll never know that my boyfriend killed your brother.
The day comes when Briar has moved into Saint's house, and once Mac and her mom leaves, she decides to call her dad. She tells him she's moved into Saint's so not to show up at her old place, although they're not engaged yet, whenever they are, and whenever the wedding is, he is welcome to come. But she wants him to know that after the wedding, she wants nothing to do with him due to all the hurt and trauma he's brought into her life and others, and that would be the final thing from their relationship.
Aww.
Saint and Briar both have new book deals. Inspiration struck her after they visited the cemetery at Nicholson Manor when she was on the phone with her dad, and it wouldn't go away until she wrote it all down. They're even co-writing an erotic series for fun and will publish it anonymously in matching masks.
We've finally fucked in every room in Nicholson Manor, but the library's still my favorite. He pounds my pussy relentlessly until we're both tumbling over the edge. Saint, I scream, nails digging into his shoulders. I fucking love you, Muse. He growls.
Saint gives her a copy of his newest book, Dressed to Kill, and tells her to flip it to the dedication page. And in there he wrote, to my Muse, I wrote all of my books for you, even before I met you. But this one even more so than the rest, because this is the book in which I will ask you to love me forever, to be mine, to say yes. She looks up and he has a ring in a box and is down on one knee, proposing. It's the easiest yes she's ever said.
Cute.
There are six people at their wedding. Briar's mom, surprisingly her dad, April, who Briar has now become really close friends with.
Okay.
That's so fucked up.
I know.
And she's at the wedding of the man who killed her brother, and she doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
I'd have like five drinks and be like, I know who did it.
Oh, yeah. I would never drink around her.
The groundskeeper to the manor, Mac and Zayden, who are together now. They say I do in a beautiful, intimate ceremony. Briar, Saint, Mac, and Zayden all live happily ever after. The end.
Wow. What a story.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I really liked it. I fucked with it. I think I give it 4.5.
Okay.
What did you guys think of the book?
I kept it consistent with the first book. I did 3.75. I got my answers. It was twisty-turny, laughable at some parts. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd say 4.5. Not sure yet. Maybe in the middle. But it was good. Trevor in the book was just like hella annoying to me. But I really liked it. It kept me very entertained.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a 4. It was very outlandish, very twisty-turny. There were some parts where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about Dirty Bad Strangers by Jade West. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay. So it's red and there's a woman sandwiched in between two men and they're naked. I think it's going to be about a girl, and she's going to go out one night with her friends. Maybe not her. No, she's going to go out with her friends. She's going to go out on a night on the town. She lives in a city. Don't know what city. She lives in a city. And she meets a man at the bar. She goes to get a drink. She meets a man at the bar. And he's dark. Something about him. Vibe. But she's pulled to him. She loves him. She doesn't love him, but she likes him. And she's like, wow, he's hot. They have like a little one night stand, gets a little crazy. And then they don't talk again for a little while. Things get weird. And she's like, whatever happened with that. Okay. She's going on about her life. Then she meets him again. But then he says, I have this friend. And then they all hook up together.
Very nice.
But that's why it's called Dirty Bad Strangers, because dirty because they're strangers. And then they're bad guys.
Okay.
Had idea.
It's way weirder than that.
Oh, yay. I can't wait.
She does live in a big city, though.
Yeah. And she does go out on a night on the town.
Clock it. Guess we'll find out next week.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.